about saying, but just given the way you had been hitting at the start of the season, it's particularly frustrating to kind of have this hit right now.
Yeah, it's horrible.
How's Alex Bregman over the weekend? You hear the devastation in his voice. Like, the guy's shattered that he's going to miss 10 weeks. It seems that's what he missed in 2021 with a similar injury.
Man.
Both he and Cora said it's very similar to what he dealt with in 2021. So let's say it's 2 months, 2.5 months, whatever it is. The guy's down. He's devastated. And meanwhile, Rafael Devers can't be bothered to get his glove and get out to third base, volunteer it, be asked about it, any of that. So now you have Marcelo Meyer, who I didn't realize this. Nick told me in the last break. Marcelo Meyer, I assumed, had been playing quite a bit of third base in AAA, because he told us, Keith, we're friends.
Yeah, best friend of the show.
We're very, very tight, very, very good friends with Marcelo Meyer. You were tweeting out the picture all weekend.
Yeah.
And I assumed, since he told us opening day at Worcester, he was going to play 4 days a week at short, 1 day a week at second, 1 day a week at third. They play 6 days a week in AAA with Mondays off. I assumed he had just been playing that much third base. He's only played 4 games at third base.
Well, they changed recently to a ton of second base games, right? So I think he was playing short primarily, because that's what he is. But then with this whole idea of maybe Campbell can play first, they've been playing him at second a whole bunch. And then you're like, all right, he might get called up and he's going to play second. And then, boom, Bregman goes down and he gets called up in the middle of the day and shows up and is playing third base now. So he's one of many guys out of position.
So Meyer is a shortstop. He's going to be a third.
Yep.
Campbell is maybe a second. I don't even know what Campbell is. He's working on playing first base. These are two guys who...
But in the meantime, playing second and center.
Correct.
So, we're taking grounders at first.
Center, a little cameo in left field early in the year, and they're like, no, too much. Let's take that away.
Center, second, just center. Maybe first. Good.
And because Rafael Devers can't be bothered to move around, you now have multiple guys trying to get their feet under them at the big league level.
Right.
Guys who I think could contribute, and in the case of Campbell, was contributing. Meyer, it's early, but we've seen a little bit already in the first 3 games. Both those guys are going to play out of position because Rafael Devers just wants to sit there in DH.
So I was of the mindset, and you and I disagreed on this. I think it was a thoughtful conversation, however. We both saw the other side.
Healthy back and forth.
I was like, let somebody else play first. He's not a first baseman, talking about Devers. I thought he'd be terrible at it. He's locked in at hitting. Let him hit. And obviously it became even more of a circus because he threw Breslow under the bus. John Henry flew to Kansas City. And they still didn't even get him to move. So he's just a DH. But that's just with Tristan Casas going down. But now you really have three things at play. Casas is out for the year. Bregman is out for an extended period of time. And Trevor Story stinks. So 3/4 of your starting infield, two of them are unavailable, and one you should make unavailable. Therefore, Marcelo Meyer can only play one of those three spots. So Marcelo Meyer, I think, should be your shortstop, right? Sit down Trevor Story, or even, I mean, play him at second maybe, but whatever. You gotta deal with Story.
Somebody's going to play out of position, it should be Story, not Meyer.
So let's say
Story's played second before. Yeah. He was very good at second. You're not hitting tough. I know you got a lot of money, but we're moving you off the position. And oh, by the way, I think he has an opt-out at the end of the year. Like, play him out of position to maybe nudge him out the door. I don't think he's that big of an idiot. But play him out of position to try to nudge him out the door.
But now suddenly you have so many openings. And maybe Devers, even though he is statistically the worst third baseman defensively, he's done it his whole career. You might have to, for the best interest of your whole lineup, put him back at third.
Well, and
so could you have some sort of lineup of Meyer at short, Story at second, Campbell at first, and then Devers at third? You open up DH to, I don't know, is Masataka Yoshida alive? Could you get him? Or that's where you work in either a Roman Anthony or a Willie Abreu or somebody like that.
That's what I would do.
Yeah,
I would get Roman Anthony up here.
Who's hitting the screws off of it in Worcester.
Bare minimum, he's DHing, and you can work him in the outfield as well, because I don't think outfield is a strong suit. I don't think that's why he's here. He's here to hit. So bring him up, let him hit at DH. Devers is at third. Absolutely. I think that would be your best lineup.
Yeah. I mean, now it's extreme.
But not only, I don't think Devers is a good third baseman either, but in this scenario, what do I want? Meyer playing out of position at third where I'm not even sure what he is, or Devers where I at least know it's below average, but he's done it before. And as of 3 months ago, Keith, he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Like he was
but not anymore.
Upset that he left spring training.
Right.
And he considered, according to Sean McAdam, requesting a trade. He was so upset. Now he can't be bothered to volunteer and go do it. No one wants to ask him to go do it. Like, there's something dysfunctional there.
But also, one of my issues was with the whole idea of just having him replace Casas was, how much better is your lineup? Like, at that point, I was like, who's your DH? What are you even doing? You know, if Devers is now being inserted into the field, who's your DH? This lineup stinks so bad now that you do need to free up that spot. Even Yoshida, and I don't know how what his timetable is. Maybe he's way off. But even Yoshida is a much better at bat than Hamilton or Toro or some of these other guys that you're trotting out there.
Sogard.
So that's where you're like, all right, now we kind of do need you to play the field. It's not just a, hey, we don't have any other first baseman, we're going to make you do it. It's you have to go back to your natural spot, and hopefully it's still not going to be great, but it's the best lineup we can actually put
and
out there.
I don't get people any, like, if you didn't want Devers to play at first, like you didn't, Keith, I at least get it. I disagree with it, but I at least get it. I don't even get what people would say to this one. Like, oh, I guess they never should have signed Bregman in the front. Like, is that your solution? They shouldn't have brought in Bregman and pissed off Devers? Yeah, like, what's Bregman's your solution? Good. Like, none of it is defensible. Do you think part of the reason Bregman sounded so down, Keith, isn't just because he's hurt? That's a big factor in it. Do you think any part of him is like, crap, I was trending towards having an opt-out year, opting out of $40 million. I was having such a good year. And I could kiss this place goodbye. Like, I could leave this place in the rearview mirror because he's not having a great experience.
He probably isn't, but he's probably also just so frustrated that, all right, if it was this bad with me in the lineup playing well, what's this going to look like now? He's not out for the year, so he's going to come back to this. What is it going to look like when he comes back?
Great question.
They could be, like, dead last place for all we know. I don't hate this from the text line. You could put Rafaela at short. Meyer could stay at third. Story could play at second. This way you do open up an outfield spot. So your outfield could be Anthony, Duran, Abreu. Rafaela now kicks into the infield. I'm good with that.
Well, I'm good with Anthony being here. That would not be my number one way of doing it, but fine. If it gets Anthony here, fine. I'll sign off on it. Like, figure that out. What'd you think of Meyer, by the way? We got our first look at Meyer this weekend.
Oh, I thought Meyer was, you know, he got thrown into it. It was a pretty crazy situation, as a lot of them can be when you get called up midseason, whether you're in the middle of a doubleheader or what, and you have to make the commute there. I thought his first, four at-bats in game one, there was definitely a little bit of that, all right, major leaguer for the first time, sort of adjusting to that and seeing what that's like.
And he said as much. He said after the first game, he's like, I thought I had a pretty good approach in my first at bat. And then he's like, my next three, I tried to do too much. Like, he said that.
And that was
a tough spot to get thrown into.
Also, I think especially Fenway Park debut has got to be different than like Kauffman Stadium debut
getting a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Which,
and you've been thinking about that moment specifically for a long time.
There's been no good moment since then, but that was a great moment when he got a standing ovation. You're like, people are excited for this kid. Yeah. He wanted to be, he thought he should have broke camp with the big club.
Oh, for sure.
And so now he gets his moment. It's been all downhill from there. They've lost three straight. Really nothing good has happened, Myers mixed in a few hits in there.
Yeah, yes.
But no, I think...
I mean, it wasn't Merlone hitting a home run in his Major League debut at home.
No, it was not that.
But no, he got three hits in the series, so it's not like one of these things that snowballs and you're like, all right, you're in the majors, and the next thing you know, you're 0-15 or something, and then you got to dig out of that hole. Like, no, he got three hits, he got a double. Like, it's a positive start.
He bounced back from the rough game at the plate in his debut. He did make an error as part of a Little League home run in, was it the Sunday game? Now they're all running together.
Mm-hmm.
But he had that as well, so it wasn't all perfect. But I'm happy he's here. Roman Anthony should be right on his heels. And I got to be honest, I don't even get anymore why Roman Anthony isn't
there. There's no reason for it. Like, there isn't, because the team isn't good. The team isn't healthy.
You don't have
guys blocking him.
I don't even think you're manipulating service time anymore at this point.
Everybody else is up.
All these teams have called their prospects up. You just called up Meyer. Now, in fairness, the only reason he's here is because Bregman's hurt. They wouldn't have called him up otherwise.
Which is also insane.
Which is shameful.
Yeah.
But all these other, the Diamondbacks called up Lawler. The Cubs have called up a couple of prospects, I think. Like, all these other teams are calling up their guys. I don't even think you're really manipulating the service time anymore. I don't get it.
No, it is comical because it's the end of May, and so all the different factors that would prevent him from being called up, like, none of those are in play. Like, is he struggling in the minors? No. Is there a logjam up at the majors? No. Is the team rolling right now without
Absolutely
him?
Absolutely not.
The opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like, do you feel like you're fast tracking him? No. Like, at this point, it's overdue. The other guys are already up here. He could join this team. There's an opportunity for him to play every day. Now, that goes back to Cora and Breslow. Is it as a DH? Is it as an outfielder? Whatever. You got to figure that out. But there is a spot for him.
Would you play him at first? Text line is asking first.
I wouldn't. And I don't even think you have to.
I wouldn't either. Bradford's made this point. The guy's never taken a ground ball. He's never played the infield.
You know, that's different than Devers or Meyer or
right.
Campbell.
All those guys are infielders.
Right.
I mean, Anthony hasn't taken ground balls.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So I wouldn't do that. I want him in the lineup as much as anybody.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wouldn't play him at first base.
But there's room for him. I can't see Abraham Toro and David Hamilton getting more of these at-bats. Like, it's Sogard. Like, I'm sick of that. You got to give yourself the best chance possible.
So, it's the Red Sox season already over. Kind of feels that way. 617-779-7937. In a related story, pair of tickets to give away on a 2-for-Tuesday.
Good luck.
Red Sox and Angels, June 3rd at Fenway Park. You won't want to miss it. We'll do that coming up about 15 minutes from now. Shams was just on Pat McAfee, Keith.
Yes, he was.
A little bit of I wouldn't call this way out of left field. I think this should be on our radar.
Right.
But this is Shams with the latest on the Boston Celtics.
So let's go for the Celtics. They're going to make trades. The Boston Celtics will have a much different roster next season, potentially. They'll definitely have a different roster. The question is just how severe as far as the movement is going to be for them. I think you look at Jason Tatum. Of course, he's injured. Can't really trade him. That's really the face of your franchise. I think after that, it's really going to depend on what value can you get. I think teams are going to express a lot of interest in Jrue Holiday. Teams are going to inquire about Kristaps Porzingis. Teams are going to inquire about Jaylen Brown. And I think the Celtics are going to have to identify what value can we get for each of these players. Which player does it make sense to trade? Is there anywhere where we can get some players back that can help right now, potentially help us moving forward? We can get some assets for...
Okay, I mean, what jumps out to me is he's not ruling out Jaylen.
No. But he's even like, well, Tatum's hurt. So I'm like, you'll still get calls on Tatum. Like, if you're getting calls on everybody else, he kind of like skirts past Tatum, but he's like, but anyway, yeah, so Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen Brown to me is so different. It's funny to hear it come out of his mouth where he's like, they'll get calls on Holiday, Brown, Porzingis. I'm like, wait, hold on. Like,
first of all, who's calling on Porzingis?
Yeah, who wants Porzingis? Then, like, don't hang up on them.
Right.
Like, for the love of God, make a deal. But, like, those guys are also different. Porzingis is hyper-injury prone and has 1 year left. Jrue Holiday kind of got old right before our eyes and has multiple years left.
Have you seen Mark Stein's been linking Jrue Holiday to the Mavs extensively? So,
okay,
maybe I'm just saying his name has definitely been out there over the weekend. Mark Stein wrote about
the
that.
Oldest team of all time.
Yeah,
seriously.
But yeah, I find it very interesting that Shams isn't dismissing the Jaylen idea, because both you and I kind of dismiss it.
Yeah, I would absolutely dismiss it. I would say you got to find trades for Holiday and Porzingis. Get whatever you can. And next year it's Jaylen Brown, Derek White. That's your duo. Peyton Pritchard. And then whatever you get for Porzingis and Holiday. And then, therefore, when Tatum does return, like, your team is pretty much that. And then you just add Tatum to what maybe is like a 4 or 5 seed team. You add Tatum back, and you're like, all right, here we go. You got to figure out the big guy because you're going to lose all your bigs. But, yeah, if they trade Jaylen Brown, I'd be shocked.
Me too. Are you surprised he didn't mention Derek White there? He didn't even mention he mentioned Jason Tatum's name. He didn't even mention Derek White's name.
I am surprised by that because I feel like just based on salary, you'd get more for Derek White than Jaylen Brown. Brown's a better player, but is he twice the player? Because that's essentially what you're paying him, almost twice as much, 2.5 times as much. So Derek White is, I mean, we saw it firsthand with the Celtics. He'd be the perfect fit on any title-contending team. Derek White's a really useful player, and it's not, I mean, he makes $30 million or $28, $30 million, yep. But it's not 55, 60.
No. It's actually, I mean, the way these NBA contracts are, it's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, but he didn't mention him.
Right, which I find interesting. I think Derek White, if they traded him, I don't think they're going to, but if they traded him, that might be the biggest signifier that they're getting away from their play style. You know, like, because he
takes a lot of threes.
He's maybe the biggest offender of the play style.
He's Duncan Robinson, but he can play defense.
Like, he's jacking up 13 shots on 13 threes on 16 attempts or whatever it is. You know, like some of these games, you guys all, that's pretty much all he does. He's pull up threes.
That's it on offense, yeah.
And that would tell me something that maybe they're looking to switch up their play style, but I wouldn't really be in favor of trading Derek White.
But also, if they
tell me what the return is, I'll trade anybody, but in a vacuum, I'm not looking to move him either.
But it's also, if they trade White or Brown, I look at it as, all right, how competitive do you think you're going to be in 27 when Tatum returns?
Right.
Because Porzingis and Holiday, even if one or both of them are on the team next year, you're like,
well, depends on what you trade Jaylen for. You trade Jaylen, as we've surmised, for the number one pick.
Cooper Flagg.
Then you could be competitive and build that around Tatum. But I don't think Dallas is doing that, and I don't think that's in play.
I also wonder just what kind of return are you getting for Holiday or Porzingis?
Oh, I bet Porzingis is more. I bet we're going to be surprised at how much they get for Porzingis.
Maybe.
It's only 1 year on his deal.
True.
Holiday, you're not going to get much for.
No, I wouldn't think so at all.
Holiday is old, not at his peak anymore. You know, he had a few throwback games in the playoffs, but he was hurt this year, and he's expensive, and he's under contract for three more years. You're not going to get much at all for Holiday.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so. I would think this year would be pretty alarming to teams. Like, all right, 2 years ago you saw what Holiday did for this group. But if you're one of these teams that thinks you're like a Drew Holiday away, it's like, I don't know, maybe the 2023 version of Drew Holiday or, you know, earlier, but I don't know about now.
No, and Porzingis, to me, a contending team could talk themselves into using him like, hey, we just got to get him healthy and we get him for 1 year and it's worth the risk. A rebuilding team could use him 1 year and then the contract's off the book. Like, I think a lot of teams.
Yeah, there's always that allure to Porzingis. And some team could say, all right, well,
but there's a big pool that you could trade Porzingis. Yeah. There's only a handful of teams that can talk themselves into Drew Holiday.
Yeah,
like contending teams. No rebuilding team is talking themselves into Drew Holiday.
Detroit. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, like I just don't think there's a lot of options. Meanwhile, with the playoffs, Keith, I continue to be just very frustrated, especially watching the East, because you know, I think even without Tatum, the Celtics could take down teams like New York and Indiana. I don't think either of these teams are great. Game four is tonight in Indy. Do you think New York still has a chance in that series? They won game three. They pulled it out of thin air.
I was going to say, you tuned into that game, you know, early fourth quarter. You're like, this is a 3-0. This is going to be a sweep.
Before you got here today, yeah. Nick and I were talking. I shut it off.
Yeah, I thought it was a sweep.
I thought it was a 20-point game. I didn't even see the end of it. I shut it off.
Wait, I'm going to watch Fear Street, Prom Queen. Not great.
So, you think they still have a chance?
The Knicks, no. I mean, because part of it is I thought the Pacers were going to win in six going in. So I was always sort of leaning Pacers. The first two and three quarters games certainly felt like it was all Pacers. So, no, I think Indiana bounces back tonight, and then it's going to be a 3-1 lead. And so I think the Pacers take care of business.
617-779-7937. A whole bunch of things to give you a heads up on. First of all, a reminder. Yes. Jones and Keefe are going to be at the Greg Hill Road Show on Friday in Newport at the Lobster Bar. We're going to be out the night before at the Landing on Thursday night. So we're very much looking forward to that. The Greg Hill Show, Road Show, After Show, something like that. What was that again, Courtney?
Oh.
So she's excited. Oh. Courtney's excited. I think that's
most sounded.
That's most people's reaction, I think, when they hear that we're going to be out with the people. So that's Friday. Mark that down. Today at 3:15 on WEEI Afternoons, you got Hart, you got Fitzy, and you got the manager, Alex Cora, talking with the guys at 3:15. It's a Tuesday, so actually you got Ted as well, I should say. I will get you the clip du jour, and we also have another pair of tickets to give away to the Red Sox and Angels June 3rd at Fenway Park, all part of a 2 for Tuesday. And it's time for Grab Bag. Get up,
get long, get down. Grab bag.
It's time for grab bag. It's time for grab bag.
Oh, it certainly is time for grab bag here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. Grab bag is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. All the stories we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program. But first, Jones, we have tickets to give away to the Red Sox.
What is it?
It's a 2 for Tuesday. 2 for Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Final chance on Jones and Keith. Be caller 9 to the contest line. 617-931-0937. And if you have today's code word, you'll score a pair of tickets. See the Red Sox take on the Angels June 3rd at Fenway Park. And caller 9 right now to the contest line. 617-931-0937. Give the code word. 2 tickets. Red Sox, Angels, June 3rd, Fenway Park. 2 for Tuesday here on WEEI. A couple more chances on WEEI Afternoons. Best of luck there.
Grab bag. NBA playoffs are rolling right along. Last night, the Timberwolves' comeback effort fell short. After a blowout win in Game 3, they lose Game 4, 128-126. So OKC now one win away from a trip to the finals. They're up 3-1.
So two thoughts on this. Number one, what's wrong with Anthony Edwards?
Like, he had a tough go.
Two shots in the first half?
Yeah.
That was
ugly.
Jimmy Butler-esque, where it's just like you're not interested in the game. You're too interested in getting your teammates involved.
That was ugly.
Number two, OKC up 3-1. Feels like they're a foregone conclusion to go to the finals. They have a million draft picks in the future. I saw Windhorst talk about this today on Get Up. We jumped the gun with the Celtics a year ago. I think it's fair to jump the gun with OKC. Are they the next dynasty in the NBA?
I mean, they're certainly have sort of the blueprint set up for it, but I've finally been knocked down after the Celtics' failure this year. Maybe it is a lot harder to win two in a row now. I try to come up with an excuse for every other team that why they didn't do it, and like, why, of course, that team wouldn't do it and whatever else. But I don't know. Are we in the era of one-off champions?
Maybe.
Maybe.
But the Thunder were... I mean, the Thunder were better this year in the regular season than the Celtics were a year ago.
I'd be worried about Chet Holmgren.
Maybe the Thunder are just better.
Guy already broke his pelvis once. He's a stick, man. I'm telling you, he freaks me out there.
He is, but
I'm worried about his health.
Unlike Porzingis, he's healthy when it matters.
Yeah, true. Tonight in the NBA, it is game four, Pacers and Knicks. Indiana is 2.5-point favorites after they failed to take a 3-0 series lead.
Yeah.
I'll still take the Pacers.
I'll take the Knicks, but that's just, I'm going down with the ship.
Grab bag.
All right, NHL playoffs. First off, I want to thank my guy Brad Marchand. I was able to hit my Sportsbook Rhode Island pick of the week over the weekend. Yes.
Wow.
Brad Marchand, anytime goal combined with a Florida Panthers moneyline win.
I didn't realize this guy. I know you were close the week prior.
Well, it depends on what time you got in.
It depends on what time you got in there.
I did hit the Jaylen Brown points.
Oh, wait, so are you riding a couple of these in a row?
Yeah. So, nice. So finally a little bit of a turnaround.
Good for you.
Panthers, though, last night got shut out by the Hurricanes. So Carolina does not get swept.
No.
But Florida is still up 3-1 in that series against the Hurricanes. As for tonight, Edmonton, Dallas with the Oilers up 2-1.
I was literally just going to ask, what is that series at? 2-1.
2-1.
Okay, I'll still take the Oilers. Thank
you. All right,
you.
Fair enough.
Why are there so many songs about
Redbird? Red Sox taking on the Brewers once again tonight. 7:40 first pitch. That means 6:40 with the pregame show here on WEEI. Aaron Civale, former Northeastern great, going for the Brewers.
Huskies are going to the College World
Series.
Dancing. See that? How about
they're
that? They're dancing on Huntington Avenue.
Northeastern and Holy Cross, I believe, representing New England, going to the big dance.
News to me, but
right, Huskies are in.
Credit to the Crusaders, yeah.
That big day for Aaron Civale and Adam Ottavino and Carlos Pena. And Tristan Bessie.
That's pretty much all of them, yeah.
So Brewers, Red Sox tonight. Sox are going to send undecided to the Hill.
Honestly?
Not bad.
Kind of makes me like their chances.
Yeah, I kind of like them a lot.
I kind of feel better about undecided.
Plus 105 on the money line if you're feeling real froggy about the Sox. No look at the lineup yet. That'll be coming out a little bit later.
I imagine it's, you know, murderer's row of like Narvaez, Sogard,
Hamilton, Toro.
3-4-5, something
stinks.
Like that.
Yeah. All right.
Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the bag. Let the grab hit the...
All right, this came out while we were gone, but the all-NBA teams were announced, I think, on Friday. And let me know if anything jumps out to you here, any snubs or any disagreements. First team, nearly unanimous. It was unanimous for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nikola Jokic, Giannis, and Jason Tatum. They all received 100 first-place votes. The next highest vote-getter was Donovan Mitchell, so that is your first team. Second team, Anthony Edwards, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Evan Mobley, Jalen Brunson.
Okay, so Brunson is on the second team. Okay, yep.
Second team, yep. Here's the last guy on there, but he made it. Third team All-NBA was Cade Cunningham, Karl Anthony Towns, Tyrese Halliburton, Jalen Williams, and James Harden.
I think I saw Harden got an MVP, like a fifth spot MVP vote when the MVP voting came out last week.
No, he had four second team votes.
I'm going to tell you right now, a lot doesn't jump out there in terms of like anybody got snubbed. Mitchell as the last spot on the first team is probably right, but I think guys like Cunningham.
Yeah, I thought Cunningham, I'm surprised he was third. I thought he'd be easy second, maybe even that fifth spot.
Well, I was going to say, I think Brunson, I think Edwards, like I think all those guys had a real chance at the last spot on first team. Who was the second to last name? It was Towns, Halliburton.
Jalen Williams from
Thank
Oklahoma
you.
City.
I was just going to shout out Jalen Williams. I got swayed by him in the last game of the Denver series, and the guy has been I never really got it with him until the last week. So shame on me for not getting it, but that's a deserving player there as well. It's another reason why OKC might be a dynasty.
And I also think even if Jaylen Brown played in three extra games, I don't think he makes it. Like, he's not on that list.
Who's he getting?
I don't think he's taking
any making the team
on.
Over that?
And so you got two Knicks, two Cavs, two Thunder on there. So the next two guys that got votes, that missed were Segun from Houston and Jaren Jackson from Memphis. And then after that, it's like a way, 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 way drop off. But I think that was,
Like Şengün is not all NBA. Like, is that egregious? It doesn't feel egregious. No,
I wouldn't say no. Just call my
name and I'll be grab bag.
Tough news for the WNBA as Caitlin Clark is out 2 weeks with a quad strain.
What'd she do? She shoved down Angel Reese again? Is that what she did?
Might have been fighting Angel Reese.
Yeah, might have been.
Somebody had, there's a lot of mean memes about
her?
Angel Reese.
Oh, about Angel Reese, yeah.
Yeah, probably Clark too. But there's some mean memes, including apparently, and I didn't look this up, so I don't know if this is 100% true. Her field goal percentage, Angel Reese's.
Mm-hmm. If you take away her own putbacks?
No, just her field goal percentage in general. Okay. From like her shooting percentage in the WNBA this season, where she's trying to score, is lower than Jontae Porter's field goal percentage, who was actively trying to lose.
She's currently shooting 30% on the year.
Right.
Jontae Porter, who is throwing games,
right.
shot a higher percentage than Angel Reese.
Brother of Michael Porter.
That's right.
Caught up in a betting scandal, trying to shave points and lose games. Or at least
trying to lose.
Get the under on his props.
He wanted unders. Made more buckets.
And then, what I want to know is, what's her field goal percentage not on rebounding her own missed shot?
So the other day, somebody had a stat. She had like 3 points, 12 rebounds, and then a parenthesis was like 8 of her misses. Somebody's got to box out the shooter on that one.
All her rebounds are just her own misses.
In Jontae Porter's last season, he was shooting 38.5% from the field.
So that's right.
It's good.
And he was trying to lose games.
Honestly, I'm really holding back from a Marcus Smart dig
just
here. But yeah, keep
going. Leave it alone. Leave it alone.
When it's around 1:30 and the takes continue to stay hot, the Jones and Keefe grab bag's a really cool spot. There's no other place to hear the grab bag. The Jones and Keefe grab bag. The Jones and Keefe grab bag. The Jones and Keefe grab bag. You're happy now, Jones?
Yes.
Let's take a look at the weekend box office, Jones.
Marcus Smart, career field goal, by the way, 38.8%.
Higher.
Yeah, it's
but similar to a guy that was trying to lose.
But we should
games.
Be making Jontae Porter jokes about Marcus Smart. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
At the box office, Lilo and Stitch, number one with a bullet, $146 million for the live action Lilo and Stitch.
Live action.
I think CC and I are going to go see that bad
boy. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, it's one of your favorite summer pastimes.
Going to the film.
Yeah.
I love film.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a popcorn and call it a day.
Nice.
Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, $63 million. I guess Ken Laird did a review this morning on The Greg Hill Show.
Yeah, well, I heard secondhand his review was there were like two good scenes.
I did not see it yet. I'll tell you why in a moment.
Oh.
Third was Final Destination Bloodlines. Movie continues to kick ass. Thunderbolts was fourth. Sinners was fifth. Both good movies. In the case of Sinners, great. Something called The Last Rodeo was sixth. I don't even know what that is.
I assume
it's about the final rodeo.
Yeah, that's, what do you mean?
Coming in
very on the nose, very aptly named.
Seventh place, the Tim Robinson movie Friendship, which I did see, and it is excellent. We recorded a Dork podcast on it. It's available now on YouTube. It'll be available on the Odyssey app around 10 o'clock tonight. We also have another episode, The Last of Us, Season 2. It's a little TV, a little movie, but Friendship, excellent. If you like Tim Robinson, like I do, if you like I Think You Should Leave, then you'll like the movie. If you don't like that, or if you don't know who that is,
I don't even want to be around anymore.
It might,
maybe
might
skip
not
it.
Be for you. Okay.
It might be a tougher 90 minutes for you if you don't know what it
but
is.
But I heard you tell Shime, because Shime popped in and asked about Friendship. You said Sinners, Friendship, top two movies of the year.
Correct.
On the Rich Keefe board.
So far.
Nice. So far.
So far. Yeah. We have a half a year to go.
That's a good point.
I saw.
You haven't seen the live action Lilo and Stitch.
I did see Three Piles of Crap streaming this weekend. If you want to hear what those are real quick.
Oh, that wasn't the movie?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'd watch that if it's free. So I watched Fountain of Youth on Apple with John Krasinski and Natalie Portman.
Pile one.
Throw it in the trash.
Okay.
I watched Mickey 17. Very disappointed. I thought it was going to be great. It was on HBO Max streaming now. Robert Pattinson plays multiple Robert Pattinsons.
Pile two.
And the best of these three, but still not a great movie, was Fear Street Prom Queen, which is sort of like a spinoff of the previous Fear Street horror movie. It's a slasher.
Okay.
It's a slasher.
That's pile three. Yeah, no, Mickey 17. Nick, you saw that as well. You didn't like it either?
It was all right.
Yeah. You talk me into the premise. I don't see anything, but you talk me into the premise.
No, the premise is fun, but it's like, no, skip it.
And I would just like to start a cheer. Let's go.
Grab bag.
Let's go.
Grab bag.
Let's go.
Grab bag.
Is Aaron Rodgers still a free agent?
Yes, but he did say he wouldn't play for the Bears. He was asked about this over the weekend. But he did say he might play for a team that plays the Bears this year.
He's so cute. He's so cute.
Maybe the Steelers.
Just sign with him.
Grab bag.
All right, let's take a look at the best NBA performers from last night. Jones, was it Jaden McDaniels?
No.
Including some good defense, though. No. Chet Holmgren. Oh, no, he had 22 points. Chet Holmgren, 21-7.
No.
Was it Nickel Alexander Walker?
No, he's playing nice, though.
23-4-6.
You say Nickel?
Nikhil?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Looks like that's what they call him.
Jalen Williams, all NBA performer, 34-3-5. That's
the guy.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 49-10.
No, did you see Doris called him a free throw merchant, is what she called him.
Free throw merchant?
Yeah, it's a dig.
She's done a lot this
season. Yeah, that's a dig.
Yikes.
I'm going with Jalen Williams.
Do you know what they call Lou Dort?
No.
I guess because he's so good defensively, the Dortcher chamber?
I didn't know that, but I was just about to say, you're entering the Dort, throw him in the Dortcher chamber.
Yeah, the Dortcher chamber.
I didn't know.
He put a guy in the Dortcher chamber last night. It was like a 3-on-1. He stopped it. I was like, oh my God, this guy's incredible.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, watch out for the Dortcher chamber.
The Durantula and the Dortcher chamber. Those are good nicknames.
I kind of like it a lot.
Grab bag.
Probably wondering who are the top baseball performers from yesterday, Memorial Day. Was it Dylan Carlson? 2-for-4 in a dong, 3 RBI, 2 runs scored in a steal.
I hope not.
Was it Tyler Stevenson? 3-for-5 with a home run, 3 RBI. Yeah. Was it Dalton Varsho? 3-for-5 home run. Mm-hmm. Was it Kevin Gausman? 8 innings, 1 earned run, 6 Ks, no walks.
This is tough.
Or was it Adrian Hauser, 6 scoreless with 6 Ks? Not great. Not a great game. Or a great day, really.
I guess it is Dylan Carlson.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
Can I peel back the curtain for a moment?
Yeah.
Keith is already bragging about that. Keith has already bragged that he has a very, very good random baseball player of the day.
I would argue one of the great non-all-stars of all time.
Okay.
Guy never made an all-star team.
Wow.
Never made an all-star team.
First clue.
Played both hot corners.
Wow.
Also played for, although not primarily with, the Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay.
The Red Sox played tonight, hence it's on theme. Also played for the Snakes, Rockies, Orioles, Cardinals, Indians, Nationals, Yankees.
Wow. I was about to guess.
The pile of teams.
This guy probably made an all-star team. I was about to guess Terry Pendleton.
Nope.
I was waiting for the Braves. I didn't know the Braves.
So he's not a big average guy. Hit 236.
Okay.
So he'd run into some outs. He would punch out a lot.
A lot?
But.
What's a lot?
200
plus?
200 plus Ks.
Nice. Okay, good.
Led the league in Ks for 4 straight years.
Oh, wow.
However.
Who?
No. I was going to ask what he is. I didn't want to step on his toes.
All right. Broke into the majors in 07 with the Snakes. His last year playing was 2019. He was 20th in the MVP vote in 2009, thanks to his 44 home runs and 102 RBI.
Oh, yeah.
Career 298 for dingers. So almost 300.
Richie Sexton.
Career home runs. No.
Oh, that was a good guess, though.
Not Richie Sexton. Also had a 30.
That stat didn't get him in the All-Star game.
Isn't that crazy?
Sexton must have been in the All-Star. He must have made All-Star teams.
He also had a 37 home run season, a 32, a 30, a 28. Only drove in 100. Also a proud member of the 2020 club.
Wow.
The 44 home run season, he had 24 steals. The only year he
never made an All-Star team.
Never made an All-Star team.
Did
strike out 223 times that year.
Was he with the Yankees?
He was with the Yankees in 13. 1 year with the Yankees.
Give me the teams one more time. I'm sorry.
Brewers. Snakes,
yeah.
Snakes, Rockies, Orioles, Cardinals, Brewers, Indians, Nationals, Yankees.
Mark Reynolds. Is that right?
He got it!
The Red Sox win!
Mark, he would grip it and rip it.
Mark Reynolds would take big hacks.
Mark Reynolds was swiping 24 bags a year.
Once. No, he only did it once.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I'm saying he did it at some point.
Yeah.
Did I had to have been.
Did it let him steal that year?
I had to have been smoked by the text line and the Twitch chat, right?
I don't
see it on the text.
I do see it on the text.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mark Reynolds.
I see.
Not Mickey Tenleton. Not Randy Poffo.
No, not Randy Poffo.
Not Stone Shoes Dick Stewart.
No, Stone Fingers.
Oh, it says Stone Shoes.
I know, but
nice. Mark Reynolds.
Pretty good. 300 home runs and never an all-star
team? Arguably the greatest non-all-star of all time.
We'll come up with it. That's what I mean. Really? I nominate Mark Reynolds. Wouldn't you?
Try to. Now that I've heard the stats, sure.
Brock Holt, all-star.
Yeah.
Jackie Bradley Jr., all-star. Mark Reynolds, 300 dongs, not an all-star.
Well, 298.
298.
Yeah, but still.
He should do a Mr. 3000 and come back just to take big hacks and try to get two more home runs.
Mr. 300.
Like Pujols did last Cardinal season.
Abraham Toro at third? Mark Reynolds.
Still got some game in him.
Mr. 300 situation. I love it.
I think he's younger than Verlander.
Red Sox, get in there.
Yeah.
Okay. That's random baseball player of the day each and every day in the grab bag. Here on Jones and Keith. Stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. You got the manager, Alex Cora, at 3:15. And you got a couple more chances to win tickets to the Red Sox and the Angels June 3rd at Fenway Park. Stay tuned. We'll get to the clip du jour next.
All right, back here on Jones and Keith WEEI. It's time for our clip du jour. Jones, are you ready for that?
Ah, sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, while it was a Tier Tuesday, we're talking cookout foods, as we were. You can check out the whole list on Twitter and Instagram, at Jones and Keith. I had a little bit of a snafu. I'm not sure if this needed to be dumped or not, but it was. Give me that sausage, whether they be patties or links. Stand by that.
Yep.
Chips, pasta salad, watermelon, hard seltzer.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay.
Frisky, grilled chicken, ribs, potato salad.
People are going to have an issue with that tier.
Probably. Well, there's the rib hard. I don't know. We need a. I'm not sure. We need a ruling on that,
I think.
It's
a bodily function. I think it's okay.
Well.
What's the bottom?
Because I don't say hard O a lot. And then I kind of screwed up on that.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, the trash tier would be kebabs, fruit salad, coleslaw, and lemonade.
Yeah.
This is what happens. I'm off 3 days. I'm not on the radio for 3 days.
Yeah,
and then you just start saying the darndest things.
Well, just the day off, a lot of drinks.
I got to ask Ken grilling, what the ruling is even on that. Is that allowed?
I think one slip up where it's clearly a mistake that is probably fine. If we're saying that.
Over and over and over again.
Over and over again in a segment.
I think we should.
I think that's got to be dumped.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah.
Fair enough.
All right. Well,
but anyway,
the
there's
tiers.
That.
Anything jump out from besides Keith's potty mouth there? Anything jump out from the tears?
No, I was just looking at the graphic on Instagram. I think you guys did a decent job.
Thank you.
I don't know that you
are we
need
too low
the...
on ribs? I feel like people are thinking we're too low on ribs and the chicken.
The chicken, I think, is a little low. I think a good barbecue chicken or whatever is good. The ribs, I don't go to a lot of cookouts where people offer up ribs.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more
seems
of
a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
I mean, a really good one, just sort of a general I would never go. The coleslaw is an interesting one for me because I agree it's not that good. But every once in a while you get like fish and chips with a sneaky good coleslaw.
Well, if you're eating fish and chips.
But at a cookout, I don't need it.
Save it.
Yeah. I also don't need the seltzers. I mean, you have the beer.
Well, that's for me.
Is that more...
The beers are for me.
Oh.
The seltzers, I'm with you.
Seltzers are for you.
The seltzers are but people do like a nice hot day. They like a seltzer.
Yeah. Well, I do like to mix in.
Nice claw in the sun.
This is offensive, a girly drink every once in a while.
How dare you.
Sweet. I always have a little something. The Smirnoff red, white, and blue.
Seriously. Neanderthal.
I'm a hard O, too. Not the other thing.
Well, careful.
A Smirnoff red, white, and blue. That's nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A little crisp.
That sounds good.
I think I've tried that. It sounds good.
Sounds like America.
You got to have those next to the Miller Lights in the cooler. Just a little mix-in.
I actually love all those. Yep. Yeah.
Well, that's priced.
It's fine.
All right. So what do you got? You guys are talking to Cora today?
Alex Cora, because they play during the day tomorrow, as you guys are well aware, will join us at 3:15. So I'm going to have to ask a delicate way to find out why he lied to us last Wednesday before pulling crochet at 5 1/3 innings with 85
pitches.
Yeah, he did lie right to your face.
First time you're talking to him since then. I forgot about that.
I've been lied to for years. I mean, covered Bill Belichick.
Right.
But I thought we had a different relationship. This hurts.
Yeah.
That I accepted. That was an abusive relationship, and I had accepted the abuse. I thought
of the course.
We were cool with Cora. And he kind of, so I'm just going to, ask that. Obviously ask about some other things. Marcelo Meyer. What do you think of him saying the clubby?
The clubby?
Yeah.
What's what the guy's called, right?
He doesn't have a name?
The clubby. He just got here.
Do you know how many people I know? Whoa. The clubby from Worcester drove his ass to Boston because he lost his keys.
Yeah.
And all he goes is, the clubby.
I guess I didn't even know he said that.
I don't mind that.
Chuck? Or maybe have a nickname for him, like
Clubby is the nickname.
That's terrible.
He's mentally been in Boston ever since. He's skipped
right over. You're just looking for reasons, Harvey. Yeah.
No,
hate Marcelo Meyer.
Hates Marcelo Meyer.
Six reasons in the first game, but now he's come around. Got a couple hits. Got a double.
He was trying to fit in with the team in the first game. That's what he. That's right. Went 0-4.
K's are big here. I've heard. We try to pile up like 15, 16 every game.
One of us. One of us.
So yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about this Celtics offseason where I don't care for if anybody wants. Jrue Holiday, sure, take him. Yeah. I don't need to even know what the return is. If you're taking the player in the contract, you can have him. But Jaylen Brown, we're talking about Jaylen Brown, don't care for that. Interested in this offseason because I do have the dream that the Thunder win the title and trade for Giannis. I think that would help make this one of the craziest offseasons in the history of the world.
That'd be wild.
We'll talk some Patriots because I crowdsourced the rundown today. And everywhere I went this long weekend for me, everybody was like, so how good are the Patriots going to be? Vrabel, huh? Mm-hmm. 10 games, 11 games, and I was like, you got them overrated, too.
You think they're the most overrated team out there.
I don't even think that's a hot take. I think they are definitively the most overrated team in the NFL. What other team that was the worst team in football is now projected to immediately win 10 games and go to the playoffs?
Favored in 11 games is
ridiculous.
Wild.
They were the worst team in football last year.
I did not expect to see
that. That got glossed over because you effed it up by winning the last game and then picking fourth. You were the worst team in football by a large margin. You've gotten back to credibility. That's all you've done. Okay. Why am I getting so angry so early? I haven't even started my show yet.
You've been off for a bit. You had the holiday yesterday.
I got 4 days I need
Friday
to unload on.
A lot of pent-up takes over there.
Alex Cora, 3:15. That's the most important part.
Okay.
Tune in.
Excellent.
Ted's going to hammer him.
More chances to win tickets to the Red Sox and the Angels on a 2 for Tuesday as well. So stay tuned for that. WEEI Afternoons, they come your way next. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 on a Would You Rather Wednesday. Short show tomorrow, Keith.
Oh, wow.
But it's at 10 on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.